Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Coffee and Conversation right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I am your host. And today I am joined by Nick Burnham from Aquaholics. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Great. So, Aquaholics, you are now at 97.8 thousand subscribers.
Yep, nearly at the big 100.
How does that feel?
Surreal, I think is probably the best answer. Yeah, it really has come from nowhere.
Well, you started the channel up in 2016. When did you actually see it really take off?
Well, the channel hit 1,000 subscribers at the end of 2018. So 2019 was when I realized that that was the point at which I could monetize the channel and at which point I could start earning some money. And I never actually believed it would earn very much money at all. I'd actually monetized it because I thought that YouTube would promote the videos more if they're monetized. And they say they don't, but I figured they were bad. But actually, they're completely right. They don't. It didn't make any difference at all. But what did happen was little trickles of money started to come in, and it was more than I expected. And I thought, this is interesting. So that's when I started to get serious about it. And that's really when things started to happen.
Well, so how did this come all about? I mean, where were you born and raised?
In the UK, in Chelmsford, but I actually grew up in Devon, which is down in the southwest, and it's on the coast. So there's a bit of boating going on down there.
And was yachting something that you wanted to get into as a kid?
Yeah, I think so. I was always very keen on boats, just one of those things. I've no idea why. And my father had a dinghy in the garage, which was kind of unusual. I used to badger him to put this thing in the water and use it, which he never actually really did. But he then eventually bought a small boat that was a bit more practical for the family, and we did a bit of sailing. And it's just kind of grown from there. But where it actually started, I couldn't honestly say.
Then you started, did you start off sailing or did you start off as a yacht broker?
Started off sailing. And in fact, that dinghy eventually I acquired and kept down at the yacht club and used to sail that, which was a very old mirror dinghy, a pram dinghy. So that got me sort of on the water with my own boat. And then later on, I got a laser sailing dinghy, which I used to mess around with. So, and my father had sailing boats. So it was from a sort of sailing background. And then when I was 20, I saw a job advertised as a trainee yacht broker in a company called Torquay Marine Sales, which no longer exists, sadly. And I applied for it and got it. And that's when I got into the industry, as it were.
So how long were you a broker for?
20 years. I started off as a trainee broker, and that was at age 20. And by the time I was about 26, I was running the company. I didn't own it, but I ran it for the people that did own it. And I ran that right up until 2009. And in 2008, the parent company changed hands. And in 2009, of course, the recession hit. And very sensibly, they were looking to make some fairly serious realignments of the business and make it more streamlined. And one of the streamlining things they did was to get rid of the office that I was running, which kind of made sense at the time for them. I can see why they did it. So I ended up then out of a job, and that's when I got into media.
So how did you start? I mean, your YouTube channel, it wasn't sort of the first thing on your mind. You started off doing some journalism and some writing for magazines, etc.
Yeah, well, that's actually still my main job. The YouTube thing is just a hobby that's got out of hand. So the funny thing was, when I was a yacht broker, there used to be a column called in a magazine, and it was called The Mystery Skipper. And it was a guy who ran a charter boat, and he wrote anonymously about his experiences running a charter boat. And so I had an idea and wrote to a rival magazine and said, you know, those guys have got The Mystery Skipper. Why don't you have a secret salesman? And I'll write anonymously. And so I started doing that. And they said, well, write us a few. We'll see what they like. So I wrote a few and they liked them. So that's how that started, just as a bit of fun, really. I mean, they were paying me for it, but it was, you know, it wasn't very much. And so when I got made redundant, the first thing I did was said to those guys, hey, look, how about some more writing? And that's kind of how I got into it, only as a freelancer. In fact, still am a freelancer. But I then started writing for that magazine, and then I realized fairly quickly that if I could do photography as well, there weren't many people. In fact, there wasn't anybody that was a, there were plenty of good photographers and plenty of good writers, but nobody that could do both. So I learned photography and got myself to a reasonable level, and then I was able to do photography and writing, and that made me very popular. So, and then from then it developed into videos. That was in 2009, and it was very much the infancy of YouTube and that kind of thing. And after a year or two, they said, "How about doing videos?" And so I started doing videos very self-consciously and badly. But that's how the videoing started, and it's just kind of purely organically, without any real sort of plan or logic, has developed. And then, as I say, eventually I did a bit of video, had a few of my own videos, and thought I'll hang them on YouTube just so I've got somewhere to put them. And that's kind of how Alcoholic was born, not with any plan to make it what it is today, but just as something to hang a few of my own videos on.
Well, I mean, there's three big guys in the industry. There's Super Yacht Captain, Alcoholic, and of course, Yachts for Sale. And all three of you have just, and it's actually quite similar stories in the last year and a half, have really taken off. What do you attribute to that?
I can't speak for them, but for me, blind luck and hard work, I think. I mean, it's, as I say, there's no plan. People seem to like what I'm doing. I put quite a lot of effort into trying to optimize what I do. One of the things I figured out fairly quickly, so I started doing these yacht tours, and that came about by accident. I was stood next to a boat. I was at a press event for Jeannot. Yeah, it was Jeannot, that's right. And they had a big 60-foot boat on the pontoon, along with all the other boats. They were there, and I was down there with my GoPro, doing some stuff for the magazines. And I was stood next to this boat with an hour to kill, and I thought, I'm going to walk around it with a GoPro and make a video, put it on my own channel, which I did, and that was fairly popular. And then, as a result of that, I did a few more at a boat show, and they kind of tickled along. Not much happened, but the thing that changed it was that I did one on a Princess 30 meter, and it was a nice video. It was a full walk around of the whole boat, engine room, everything. And I put it on their Super Yacht Tour Princess 30 meter, and it tickled along and did a few videos. Oh, sorry, got a few views. And one day, just out of the blue, I suddenly thought, I'm going to change the title. And I changed it from Super Yacht Tour Princess 30 meter to 6.5 million pound Super Yacht Tour Princess 30 meter. And all of a sudden, whoosh, off it went. Because there's so many people out there who've got no interest in boats, and they'll see a boat tour and go, I'm not interested in boats. And then they'll see a 6.5 million pound boat tour and go, oh, I wonder what that looks like. And that's now become a big part of it. I always try and put the prices on them. And I think that brings in a lot of the what you might call the voyeurs, just like I would if I was looking at, I'm not particularly interested in airplanes, but if I saw a 50 million pound private jet tour, I'd think, oh, I wonder what a 50 million pound private jet looks like.
Well, I imagine, especially if you couldn't afford to buy one for yourself, and
Exactly.
it's the only way you'll ever see it.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, it's all that kind of stuff, really.
Well, I mean, the one thing that I've noticed about the yachting industry is even through the success, and we have been, blessed to be able to interview all three of you guys here, but there's not such a huge sort of push for social media advertising within the yachting industry at the moment.
No, I think the yachting industry is very established. A lot of people have been in the same place for the same time for a long time. And it's just not really on the radar for a lot of people. There's one company in particular who I probably shouldn't mention who, I'd be they're a very established and very prominent Italian company, and I've been knocking on their door and sending them emails and saying, "Look, I really want to get some of your boats on Aquaholic," and in the main, they won't even reply. They're just not interested, and I don't even charge for it. It's free. There's literally nothing to lose. But I think a lot of these people have been doing this same job for a long time and perhaps been doing the same thing, and they figure that's what works. And I don't know. I think there's a perception amongst some people that the internet is for teenagers and wealthy people don't look at YouTube and so on, which is a nonsense. There's no special private gold-plated millionaire internet out there. We all use the same one. And I think when anybody buys anything these days, I know, for example, I bought a car recently, and the very first thing I did when I was interested in a particular car was go on YouTube and look for videos on it. Just tap that in, and particularly people who are independent, who maybe own the car, they bought it and they're enthusiastic about it, or or just a car enthusiast. That's much more interesting to me than the manufacturer's video of that car, for obvious reasons. And so I think you know, this independent look at a boat, a car, or whatever else is what it's what I look for if I'm thinking of buying something, and it's what everyone looks for. And if you're looking for a, you know, big motorboat, there's no reason at all why those people who are in that market are not using YouTube. Of course they are.
Do you find that the Americans are like maybe a step ahead of Europe when it comes to that form of marketing?
I don't have a huge amount of experience. And I have to say that, you know, having said what I've just said, some of the guys in Europe are really got behind Aquaholic in a huge way. Princess Yachts, Sunseeker, and quite a few others are massive fans of the channel and are absolutely open arms to me. You know, come on board, come and have the boat, you know, all that kind of thing. So I don't want to sort of, you know, degrade. It's not everybody in Europe. But I went to Miami for the first time last week. And certainly, for example, I mean, I just walked up completely cold to Hatteras out there, not expecting anything, just saying, can I make a video? And normally when that happens, they go, oh, yeah, well, we'll have a thing. Give us a card. We'll come back to you. You never hear anything. And I went to Hatteras and they said, absolutely, let's get you on board. And they did. And in fact, the lady from Hatteras said, look, come into the show an hour early tomorrow before it opens and I'll come and meet you and we'll get you on the boats before anybody else does. So they certainly seem to be enthusiastic. And Bob Dennison from Dennison Yachting, he's a huge fan of Aquaholic. And he did pretty much the same sort of thing. He said, look, come and spend a day with us and I'll literally just open the boats to you and do what you want. And so, yeah, without doubt, my limited experience of the American companies is they do seem very, very enthusiastic about it all. And why wouldn't you be? I mean, it's, you know, it costs them nothing. It's great exposure. I always put a link to these guys in the description. So if anybody is genuinely interested, you know, maybe out of 20,000 people that look at the video, maybe only 100 are, but that's still 100 people who might not have seen it otherwise who are serious buyers. So, you know, why wouldn't you?
What is the most number of views that you've had on your YouTube or on any video on your YouTube channel?
I have one video. It's a Golfcraft 140. I filmed it at Monaco in September last year, and that this week passed 2 million views.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and literally in like 6 months, 2 million views. And I have two other boats, both Sunseekers, funny enough. Sunseeker 131 Yacht, that's passed 1 million a few months ago. And a Sunseeker 116 Yacht, that passed 1 million, funny enough, today, I think, yesterday or today. It's just gone past. So I've now 3 7-figure videos on the channel. And there are other ones chasing hard. So there's some very, very popular videos on there.
That's really exciting. Do you find that there is more interest with the more money attached to the yacht, or is it necessarily something that is more, you know, generally straight across the board friendly boat? Or what are the more interesting ones that you've done that you find that people are more interested in?
It's the big boats. And it's funny, yeah, because you quite often get in the comments, you get people saying, you should do more small, cheap boats because that's what we can afford. We can't afford these big boats. These are the boats we're interested in. But actually, in terms of genuine views, it's the big boats because it's just human interest, isn't it? I mean, and I would be exactly the same. You know, you put a video in front of me that says £50 million private jet, I might have no interest in planes at all. Or I might, yeah, if I have got interest in planes, at best, I could afford an old Cessna or something, but you stick a £50 million jet in front of me, private jet, and I'm going to have a look at it because I'm curious, you know. So I think there's a big amount of human nature that puts these big boats, it makes them very, very attractive to people wanting to see them.
I imagine it's the same with cars for me. I'm not overly interested in cars, but if you show me a car that's worth over $1 million, I'm like, why?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, you know, and it's the same. I get a car magazine every month, and you know, the first road test I read is the latest Ferrari or Lamborghini, which I can't possibly afford. But that's what's interesting, isn't it? That's what catches your imagination, and I guess there's a lot of wishful thinking there as well. What would it be like if I had the money? What would it be like to have a Ferrari? Well, here's a magazine that's going to tell me. And with me, it's what would it be like to go on a £20 million yacht? Well, if you go onto that Golfcraft video, then you'll see exactly what it's like because I'll take you into every inch of it.
Yeah. So what's next for Aquaholic and you?
I don't know, really. It's evolving so organically that it's not really, none of it's been a plan. It's all just kind of happened. And, you know, it's a bit like being in on a boat that's hurtling down a river. You know, you can steer it a bit, but ultimately the river's taking you the way it's taking you. And that's kind of what it feels like. But we did something last year, which was very exciting. I have, there's a UK company called boats.co.uk. They're a broker. And they also buy and sell boats, and they're also a dealer for Princess. And they're a big fan of the channel. There's a guy called James Bark who's in charge there, and he loves Aquaholic. And he has a charter boat. It's a 72-foot Princess out in Mallorca. And he said to me, why don't you have that boat for a couple of days? And we'll cover all the expenses. Just go out and enjoy it, but make a film for Aquaholic for it, which we did. We all went out with the family, and we just had an absolute ball with that boat for 2 days and made some really lovely films. He's really pleased with that, and we're doing it again this year with another boat that he's got, a sailing boat. So I wonder whether there'll be more of that in the future, but it depends what people come back to me with. And, you know, if I get offers like that, then of course, you know, I mean, it's such a win-win because we had a wonderful 2 days on the boat, and he got some great video, which he's now using to help promote the boat in the first place. I mean, if you actually go onto his website for his charter boat, those videos are embedded in the website. So it's a real win-win for him and for us. So I don't know whether that will develop. It's, you know, might get other people coming in and asking us to do charters. Just got to see, really. There isn't a plan. The only plan is to keep doing the yacht tours and see how it develops.
Do you think that there will ever come a point where you can just give up your day job and do this YouTube channel and make a really good living at that?
I could do it now. I could do it now. It's actually earning me far more than the day job does. But I enjoy doing the day job, and I also have a lot of loyalty to the magazine that I work for. It's Motorboat and Yachting in the UK. It's a really good magazine, and they've been very good to me. So I'm very reluctant to step away from that, and I quite enjoy the stuff that I do with them. So I think that association will stay. But for sure, if I looked at it in a purely cold-blooded business sense, I'd probably ought to be dropping the magazine and concentrating on YouTube. But the other element to it as well is that this YouTube thing is so very new to me. I mean, literally, it's only been successful it started to take off in May of last year, so less than a year. And so I also, I don't have the confidence in it yet to go, do you know what, I'm convinced it's going to keep going and it's going to keep doing what it's doing. So there's that element to it as well, as the fact that, you know, let's keep some other options open just in case. So at the minute I'm incredibly busy. I kind of have two full-time jobs effectively. So yes, I could. I could certainly drop everything and just do YouTube, but I don't think that would be happening in the near future.
Well, it's kind of exciting to know that if you decide that you just want to give up your day job and sail around the world for the rest of your life, like so many people dream of doing, that you could potentially be doing that in a few years' time and actually get paid more than you could ever imagine just to be sailing around the world.
For sure. I mean, the beauty of YouTube and of Aquaholic is that it consists of me, a GoPro, and a laptop. And that's all I need. So I could live anywhere. I've also got access to boats from time to time. And what I find is that I can go to a boat show. I went to Miami, for example, and it was a very, very intensive 4 days, but I came away with about 20 videos. So that kind of, you know, I upload 3 a week. So there's about 7 weeks worth of videos there. You know, I could do that and take the next 7 weeks off effectively, which is a nice position to be in for sure. And it's also because my magazine work is freelance and therefore you don't have any security in it. The magazine could turn around tomorrow and go, thanks for everything, we're done now. It's reassuring to have a second string to the bow, for sure.
Nice. Well, I wish you all the best of luck. And you know what? We'd love for you to let us know when you do hit the 100,000 mark.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it'll be literally, if you keep an eye on it, it's, as you said, it's now at 97.5, I think, something like that.
97.8. And I just checked before we came on air.
Okay. Well, it's getting roughly about 400 new subscribers a day.
Wow. So
you can work out, you know, that's going to be probably maybe this weekend. Maybe.
Well, hopefully when we air this, we can help you push it just that little bit further.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. Hit like and subscribe, as us YouTubers like to say.
Do you know what? I'm fairly new to the whole YouTube thing myself. You know, as I said, I've been doing this for about a year. And, you know, it's getting there. It is a slow process and you don't really know what's going to happen. But every day you're learning something new. And every day I get to speak to somebody like you. And there's little tips and tricks you know, a little bit of inspiration, to be honest.
YouTube is a funny business because nobody really knows how it works. And I've spent, as I'm sure a lot of people have, a lot of time trying to research it. And there isn't really anything you can do because it's all based on algorithms. And nobody knows, not only does nobody know how the algorithms work, but the algorithms change. So what works today might not work in a week's time. And for example, in the early days, as I understand it from the bits and pieces I picked up, in the early days, the algorithms worked on, there's a video that's getting a lot of hits. Because from YouTube's point of view, it wants to promote the popular videos. And of course, one of the ways it does that is say, okay, well, there's a load of hits on that video, let's promote it. But then they realized very wisely that people were sort of posting up a video of their dog and then putting a headline on it that says, oh, that's a Trump assassination or something. Well, of course, then hits. But then people would sort of realize that it was a complete clickbait and would click out after 3 seconds. So YouTube now operates a combination, as I understand it from the things I picked up, a combination of how many hits it gets, but also how engaged people stay with it. So how long they watch it for, whether they comment on it, whether they click the like button, all that kind of stuff. So you've got to try and create something that people want to A, watch and continue watching, but B, interact with. And that seems to be the secret. And certainly for Alcoholic, I mean, I say a lot of stuff happens accidentally, but I really enjoy reading all the comments. I really enjoy reading what people say about the boats and what they think of them and that sort of thing. And I often reply to them and so forth. And so because of that, a lot more people comment because they know that I reply to them. And that seems to, as I say, wasn't designed for anything sort of deliberate, but it's just how it works with me. And that seems to help because, of course, YouTube picks up on that. A lot of people comment on these videos. They must be popular. So, it's a funny business. It's a really funny business because there are no real rules or guidelines. You just kind of have to feel your way along. And it's intriguing.
Well, you're doing very well. And I congratulate you for sure. And I've watched a few of the videos myself. And you do a phenomenal job. So thank you very much for doing that for the yachting industry as a whole. I mean, you know, you're providing a service. You really are.
Well, that's very kind of you. One of the things I find interesting is, again, going back to how YouTube works, of course, if it senses a popular video, it'll put it in front of people, even though they may not have known that they were interested in it, if that makes sense. And I get a lot of comments from people saying, I had no interest in boats whatsoever. I've never been on a boat. I had no interest in boats. This came up as a suggestion, and I watched it, and now I'm watching all of them, and now I'm really into boats. And I think it's interesting that it is pulling people, to some degree, it's pulling people in from outside of the boating world and introducing them to a world that they didn't know existed, because people have no idea. When they walk past boats in a marina, for example, and they walk on the edge of the marina on holiday, they don't look at a boat and go, oh, I bet that's got sleeping for six and two toilets and, you know, whatever else. So now they can actually see inside them. It's pulling people into the world a little bit, and I think that's nice.
Well, and I think, too, you know, the charter market, you know, is quite important, because a lot of people don't realize that there is that possibility to charter boats. So to be able to see these yachts and to go through these yachts, and a lot of these yachts, when they are sold, they are sold as charter yachts or a percentage thereof. So for them to know that, oh yeah, you know, if we put this much together, we had, you know, 10 of our best friends and we all got together, and instead of going, you know, to Dubai at a 5-star resort for 2 weeks, we could actually put our money together and we could have a 5-star resort of our very own floating in the middle of the Med, or, you know, in Fort Lauderdale or in the Caribbean.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people, it's not that they don't want to do it, it's that it simply has never occurred to them to do it. They've never understood that it exists. And that was why the charter video I did was quite gratifying, in the amount of people who went, I had no idea you could do this. This is fantastic. And I mean, we were on a boat. It was, you know, fairly expensive boat. It had two crew and everything else. But actually, it sleeps 8 people. Well, if you get 4 couples, you know, and they've all got perfectly nice cabins, then for each person for a couple of days, it was like a couple of grand, which, okay, is not an insignificant amount of money, but for the world that it puts you into, the sort of the multimillionaire world that it puts you into, that's it's a colossal experience for the money, and people just don't know it's out there.
Well, realistically, a lot of these people, you know, it's affordable for middle class, because a lot of these middle class people, if they cut out, you know, that weekly beautiful dinner that they go out and, you know, drop to 300 euros on or dollars or pounds, as it were, on dinner once a week. Well, you save that up for a month or two. Well, you can afford to go for, you know, a weekend on a super yacht.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe.
It's certainly not as unaffordable as people imagine. And if it's done right, and especially if there's a group of you, it's and I would take 2 days on a yacht charter before I would take 2 weeks in a five-star resort somewhere with a load of other people being sort of, you know, or a cruise. You know, you look at these cruise ships and they have thousands of people on them, and you dock in a quiet little town somewhere and go and see something. And of course, the other 3,000 people on the cruise ship are doing the same thing. Well, imagine being on your own private yacht that takes you in, and then they drive you in on the tender, and you're there just on your own. It's a completely different experience.
Well, realistically, right now in today's climate, you're on a cruise ship and you end up staying on that cruise ship for a month longer than planned.
Well, quite. Yeah, it doesn't matter, does it?
No, I think I'd rather be on a private yacht with, you know, four or five of my closest friends and know that we're safe in small numbers as opposed to safe in large numbers.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Nick. I really do appreciate your time, and I wish you the best of luck. I will definitely provide the link on my YouTube channel and Facebook and everywhere else that I post this interview in order for people to be able to head on over and get you over that 100,000 subscriber mark.
Well, that would be fantastic. And I look forward very much to seeing them and interacting with them in the comments.
Wonderful. Well, do stay in touch with us. I thank you once again, alcoholic Nick Burnham out of England. You have been listening to another episode of Coffee and Conversation right here on Yachting International Radio.